Man, try to get them, man, bring them no religion, man, or what man trying to do for God and not trying to reach God, but man, go and share with them, boy. Somebody say, what he said? I say, boy, go and share with them the gospel of the kingdom, man, of God and the kingdom of hell. They're going to try to make Christians out of them, or members of your organization or church out of them. No, go win souls to the kingdom of God. And God said, I give him pastors after my own heart. My assignment, man, is to help him establish, man, and advance his kingdom upon the earth. That's the assignment of the church. That's what God is raising up the church for in our generation. That's the purpose for a man, the gospel that, not the gospel of Jesus that most of us preach, but the gospel that Jesus preached. If we're not careful, man, we just preach all the time the good news about Jesus. And we don't preach the good news, man, about us. We don't preach the good news to one another about us. Like what Jesus did. He come preaching the good news, man. This kingdom of God, this kingdom of heaven, and everything that I'm talking about, you know, that's a good news to it. That's a gospel to it. The gospel to it is, that's yours. That's available to you. You had that in the beginning. You lost it in Adam. Man, now Jesus Christ has came and cleansed you up through the redemptive plan of God, man. For what purpose, man? So that you could be washed white as snow, so that not only you can come back into, man, the Garden of Eden, but you could have restored back to you everything that you lost in the Garden of Eden. What you lost in the Garden of Eden again, Lord? God said it is in the beginning. Let's make them in our image and our likeness and let them have dominion over the whole earth. Everything that creepeth up on the earth. And then God planted a garden or put an atmosphere and an environment here on the earth. And there he placed the man in. And from there, that's where the man would be fruitful and multiply and fulfill, man, his purpose. Because in that garden that he planted there, it was the presence of the Lord. An atmosphere and an environment that comes from or that's created by the literal presence of the Lord. Lord, can you imagine this? What kind of environment and what kind of atmosphere that would produce, man? You know, if Almighty God come sit in your living room, man, right in here. Listen, I got something better than that. He did even better than that. He not only come sit in your living room, he come past all of that, man, past your circumstance, past your situation, past your symptoms, past your joints, past your moral, past your body, past your mind, past your emotions, past your attitude, past your soul, past your will, and took up residence on the inside of your spirit. In the old covenant, he was among them. In this new covenant, man, he not only just among us, boy, he in us. The Bible says, I show you a mystery that's been hidden in the book of Colossians, first chapter. But from generation, but it being now being manifested, man, in our time. What is that mystery, man? What? Christ in you, the hope of glory. It might not mean nothing to you now, but I'm just sowing seeds. What, man? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Just like Christ was able to say, it's the Father that's in me that doeth the work, boy. So shall we be able to say, boy, it's the Christ that's on the inside of me that doeth the work. I'm just his ambassador. I'm just I'm just co-laboring, man, with him. What you co-laboring to do, man? To grow up, man, in the kingdom of God, man, and put on, man, the whole armor of God, man, and go, man, into the devil's camp and let the devil know that he's a defeated foe and his kingdom has come down. And, man, he don't have no right and authority, man, in the lives of believers, man, and break his power over our circles of influence. When we go, man, into the devil's camp and let him know, boy, that a greater than he is here. That greater than he that's here, that one that live on the inside of us. Who is that? That's the Christ. Instead of going to the devil and trying to show the devil the Christians of the Christ, we're going to go to the devil and show the devil the Christ of the Christians. I don't like that word Christian anyway. The Christ of the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're going to show him the King of the Kings. Hello. Hey, listen. You might not know it, boy. I told you, boy, the love of God, if you knew the love of God and all that he's done for us, boy, you'll be running after him. You'll be chasing him. You'll be talking with him, man. You'll start growing up and developing, man, that kind of relationship. You'll start developing that relationship. It's a love affair. Listen, all this, you talking about God, why God let all these things happen on earth? Now, that's his permissive will. And all them things that happen on earth, man, they ain't worthy to be compared with all the glory that God got for you. Y'all, you talking about, this might be a little over your head. You live in time, man, but God got some things for store in store for you, bro, for all eternity. Only reason why he created time, man, is so that, man, just don't be in our life for eternity. One day, baby, he's going to wrap up time. And we're going to go on into eternity future. And the suffering of this present time that the suffering that mankind might have went through in time ain't worthy to be compared, boy, with the, I told you, you done great things your eyes ain't seen and our ears ain't heard. It ain't even into our heart, boy, but go ahead. As we sojourning through this land, man, you know, on our way, man, to who he has already created us to be, man, and who he has already chosen us to be before the foundation of the world. And we just sojourning through this land again, I said, our eyes ain't seen and our ears ain't heard. Nor has it entered into our heart, boy. But some things, our eyes are seeing and our ears are hearing, and it is entering into our heart. But that, man, I ask you, I'm a child of the Most High God. I am the righteousness, man, of God in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm the head, not the tail. I overcome evil with good. I overcome. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Yeah, but the doctor say, man, you got to have an operation, man, in your neck, man. I don't care what the doctor say, man. That might be a fact. But the truth is, man, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not beneath. I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Every need that I have already met. My mama told me this, man, a long time ago, you know, but something that dawned on me, man, just a few weeks ago, man, that revolutionized, man, my relationship with the Lord. She told me a long time ago, you know, the Lord told her, how would you feel if you knew everything was all right? Say the Lord asked her that. And she said she got a glimpse of that feeling, you know, I guess the Lord put that in her heart, what it would feel like. And then the Lord told her, feel that way. I remember when I first received Christ into my life. Something that happened to me in that personal encounter with me, man, you know, it was something that, man, that the devil could never take away from me. In that personal encounter, in that time where I was, where the Lord was speaking to my heart, man, I knew something, man. Well, I felt something, and I realized that everything that I've been doing ever since then, that's been almost 40 years ago, there's been a means to that one end, man. I want to feel that way again. Cause boy, when that took place, man, let me tell you something. In that little time where God came into my life and transformed me, and man, everything was all right. When I was fellowshipping with Him, when He was talking to me and speaking to my heart, man, everything was all right. And not only was everything all right, man, but I could feel that. I knew that, you know, beyond what I can even explain or say, but everything was all right. Then I come up to my 40th anniversary, man. We're getting ready to cross over the Red Sea into, man, the Promised Land. I realized something, man. Because she said to her, didn't feel that way. And I remember how I felt back then in that first encounter that I had with the Lord. And I wonder why all through the time, man, you know, it was like, man, you know, no matter what, man, you know, I was always there, you know, keep my eyes toward the hill from which coming my strength and my help. But I really, this time, man, feel that way. Because I know I realized, man, that I knew how that felt, and I felt that back then, a few weeks or a few months ago, you know, how I felt, man, when the Lord first came into my life, when He found me dead in trespasses and sin, and gave man unto me, man, the gift of eternal life. When He saved me by His grace, and through that personal relationship I had with Him, that personal encounter, developed a faith on the inside of me for a purpose. That here, 40 years later, I would be on a radio broadcast, man, sharing with you, man, the love of God. Because it was 40 years ago that I heard a radio broadcast on my way from Houston with drugs in my car, drug dealer, on my way from Houston back to Louisiana. And the Lord came into my life and changed my life. Listen, 40 years later, you know, I tell you, I heard a 15-minute radio broadcast. Never forget it. November the 2nd, 1980. 10 o'clock p.m. on a Sunday night. And on this broadcast, man, it touched my heart. And it made me call upon the name of the Lord. And I just prayed a simple prayer. Lord, I don't know if You're real or not. I've been hearing about You all my life, brought up in the church, but I don't know You. But if You're real, then save me, because I don't want to go to hell. And boy, something happened on that highway. And when that happened on that highway, man, looked like His presence started coming to me. And when His presence started coming to me, it's 10 o'clock at night. I turned off the lights on the car. I was driving down the highway. I never took my foot off the accelerator. Cause he told me to do that, man. Cause he was letting me know that, man, He was there, and when He was there, everything was all right. I didn't feel no fear. I didn't feel none of that. I felt just like He said it was. Like, that's how I felt. Everything was all right, cause it was. And eventually, man, at the car, man, you know, I took my foot off the accelerator too, but man, I didn't stop and pull over nothing. And eventually, the car just pulled over to the side, man. Up against, man, a little fence. And God started speaking to me. Told me I was His little Joshua. And He changed and saved my life. And ever since then, everything that I've been doing, boy, is to feel that way. When the Lord spoke to my heart just the other day and said, "You remember how you felt that?" And He reminded me of that. And then He said, "Hey, didn't feel that way." Why you say that, Arthur? Because listen, it don't matter what you might be going through. It don't matter what you might be going through. He got you. He really do. If you get in on His plan for your life, if you get in on the plans for His life, let me say it right, you know, we got a little distracted. When we get in on His plans for our lives and what He's doing in our lives, then, hey, you know, things change. The Bible says this here, we are ceased from our works. What's our work? We'll come out of religion, we'll cease from our works, and we'll enter into a rest. What rest? We'll come out of, man, religion, man, into a relationship. We'll come out of, man, you know, servanthood into sonship. We'll come out of being, man, Christians, man, into ambassadors of Christ. We'll come out of darkness, man, into the marvelous light. We'll come out of trying to be saved and get the blessing of God on our lives, man, into just receiving it, man, and doing those things, man, because all those blessings are ours, is our inheritance. And in doing those things and walking upright before God, it stops that man inheritance that belongs to us from being short-circuited and, man, hindered in our lives. Listen, God wants us to live right, man, not so that we could get, man, his blessing from us. He wants us to live right, man, because we love him. And thereby, man, you know, his blessing that he has for us, man, won't be short-circuited in our lives through our conduct and our manner of life. Listen, he's already blessed you with everything. And the Bible says this, thanks be unto God who hath is the old English word that already done, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, your blessings at, man, they're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And watch, he's already blessed you. But why them blessings, man, ain't being manifested in our life? Because the sin in our life or the results of the sin in our life, our conduct and our manner of life and the thing that we do that we call sin, those things are the result of sin, you know. But that manner way of being in our lives, help us, Lord. All those things, you know, the results of sin. And boy, and God, and what he doing, man, it won't, man, allow that sin, the short circuit, and all those things. How can I say it? Help me, Holy Spirit. It short circuits. It short circuits the blessings. All that you've been blessed with, man, it's like a trip to break up, man, and it stopped the blessing, man, from getting to you. It don't write your name out the Lamb's book. It don't erase your name out the Lamb's book of life, man. It stops you, man, from developing and growing, man, and becoming who you are, man, so that you don't become that son who can, man, destroy the works of the devil. What? That can go into the highways and byways and compel the lost and dying to come in. Not just with enticing words of our wisdom and our knowledge, but in demonstration and power. So that the faith of the hearers don't stand in the wisdom of the man. But boy, they see, man. They don't hear, man, what the man is saying. They hear what the Spirit is saying, man, about what the man is saying. I tell you, man, my message is not to your circumstance, your situation, or your symptoms. It's not about your emotion. Not, you know, it's like typical message, you know, that you get. No, this word here is to your spirit. Jesus said this, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have no life in you. You can't get that kind of life. What you got to do, you got to eat his flesh and drink his blood. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And then the man explained to him, what you mean by that, Jesus? He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. And just like you need, man, natural food for the earth, for this natural body, man, you also need spiritual food, man, for your spiritual man. There are a lot of messages, man, to our soul and to our emotions that put band-aids on it, man, but the reason why, man, you have to keep putting them band-aids on it and everything else is because, man, very little ministry to the spirit. The spirit is willing, man, but this flesh, man, or the spirit may be more malnourished. So I ain't coming on here to change your circumstance, situation, and symptom, man. This message, man, is designed to change you so that you can get back into your original role that God and plan and pray that God has for your life. What that other that you quit going to God and asking God, man, to do for you, man, what he didn't gave you sovereignty and dominion and royal power, man, to do for yourself. Listen, this is what he said. I give you dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth. Now you rule and you reign. So what I'm talking about, that redemptive work that Jesus Christ did, hey, listen, that redeemed us, man, from the sin and cleansed us up, man. So what, man? So that we could come boldly to the throne of his grace and grow up, man, in the things of God, man. And then, man, operate in, man, not only our redemptive work of God, but the restoration work of God too. Not only have we been redeemed from the curse of the law, we've been restored back to our original place, man, in God. Covered in his love. When he see us now, man, all he see is the finished product. What's the finished product, man? Us created in his image and likeness, ruling and reigning on the earth forever and ever and ever, and it on earth just like it is in heaven. And his dwelling place is with the sons of man. His dwelling place, man, is with us. It ended up just like it started. It did finished product, just like he said in Genesis chapter 1. You know how you put, you know how you have a puzzle, and that's why I say the Bible is not really a complicated book if you understand some things. You know how you go to the store and you buy a puzzle, you know, and it got 500 pieces in it, and but on the top of the box, you see, man, what the puzzle looked like, man, once it's all put together. You see the finished product first, even before you open up the box, and all them little 500 pieces, man, in there, man. Even before they show you that, they show you the finished product first. And then when you open up the box, man, there them 500 pieces in there. Now you know, you already know what the destination is. You already know what the finished product is. So you start putting them pieces together. You start charting your course toward that destination yourself. If you want to work on it 2 or 3 hours this day or 4 or 5, but you already know where the destination is and where you're headed at, man. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 31, man, it's the big picture on the puzzle, on the box. Even before you open up the Bible, God said, I fix this in your heart. I'm God. I declare the end from the beginning. I'm going to show you the end first, and then I'm going to show you the finished product first, and then I'm going to back all the way back up and start. I'm going to finish with your life first, then I'm going to start. So he showed us the finished product, man, in the first chapter of the Bible. He showed us the big picture, man, on the box, before we even open up the box. And the big picture is this. God said, I ain't talking about what the preacher said and what the man of God said or what the woman of God said or what other believers said or Abraham or Isaac or none of them Old Testament prophets. None of them. Get out of the box. And God said, let's make man in our image. What's the image? Our character, our nature. And in our likeness, let's make a man function just like us, live like us, talk like us, walk like us, be like us, just like us, with our character and our nature. Little offsprings of the Creator God, the Father God, little offsprings of God. Let's make them just like us. And let's give them kingship, rulership, sovereign reign. In the Bible said this, dominion. That's the right to rule and to reign and to manage and to dominate and to subjugate and to bring up under subjection, man. The fish of the sea, the bird of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth, over all the earth. And the Bible say, in his image created he them. Male and female created he them. And then it said this, and God blessed them. And then told them, man, be fruitful, multiply, subdue, and replenish the earth. In other words, you say, hey, make it on earth just like it. Colonize earth with heaven. So that it might be in your life on earth just like it is in heaven. He showed you that's it. And then, man, in Genesis chapter 2, man, you start going into detail. He back up and he start. He say, yeah, he formed the body from the dust of the ground, man, and everything else. But he already decided before the foundation of the world, like I told you, his plan for your life. That's why he said in that scripture, I know the plans that I have for you. Those plans are to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope in a future. So that, man, you know, he told Abraham, I mean, he told Moses, man, you remember when Moses, man, was had come into that situation, man, where the mountains was on either side of him and the Red Sea was in front of him and Pharaoh's in his army, man, what's behind him, man. And Moses, man, you know, told them people something, and then he went to God, man. And God, you remember what God responded was? Hey, Moses, what you coming to me for? What's that you got in your hand? You go and you stretch forth the rod. I'm with you, baby. I'm going to back you up, man. Yeah, but hey, it's me that do it to work, man, through you. But, man, I need a vessel. I need a body. Well, I gave you dominion in the earth. But God's sharing this with you because you want to, I told you this word is to your spirit. It ain't to change your circumstance, situation. Simply to change you. And your worldview and your image and your character and your nature so that we could rise up, man, and put our crown on, man, along with our priestly garment, man, and start usurping authority and dominion in this earth and over circumstances and situations and symptoms like God created us to do. Who are you talking about? I'm talking about the church. When the church going to do that? Hey, Lord, he told us to pray this way. Lord, what? When we going to be able to do that? Hey, not when we go to God in prayer and tell God what we need him to do for us. But when we do what he said first, before we do that, when we go to God and say, God, what can I do for you? How can I help you? What you doing, Lord? What you need for me, Father? That's what he says. Father, what? Your first petition in prayer is this. Father, what? Let thy kingdom come. And let thy will be done. What he said, let thy kingdom come. What this Bible is about is about a king, his kingdom, and his royal kids. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and everything that dwell in it is the Lord, but he gave it to us to manage for him. This is our territory. It's all his, man, but he gave it to us. Here, this is your royal territory right here. And just like I rule and reign in the heaven over every circumstance and situation in my life, and you do the same thing, man, on earth. Boy, a squatter came on our land. Let me flip the script right quick in my few minutes left. A squatter came on our land, man, and took that sovereignty and dominion and royal power, man, you know, from God, from Adam and Eve. And instead of being, man, like God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 33, man, it's like it is here on this earth now. That's why I say it's about a king, his kingdom, and his royal family. And in the time that he created in time, he lost his royal family. And instead of it being, man, like the big picture, like on the box, man, it's like it is here now. And that's a deception that's set up, motivated, and influenced by the devil. Called a kingdom of darkness. That's this world that we live in, that you're born in, that you train and condition to operate and live under. But boy, in the fullness of time, he sent his son. And his son came in and redeemed our life from destruction. And this is what he wanted us to do, man. He said, listen, here's what the deal is. I took your place on Calvary, and here's what I need you to do. What? I need you to take up where I left off at. This is what Jesus is saying to us as a church. He said, hey, listen, I took your place on Calvary. Now I want you to take my place. What am I supposed to do, Lord, for all that you've done for me? Hey, you take up where I left off at. Where you left off at? Jesus, risen from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Most High God, far above all principalities and powers and dominions and might, operating in sovereignty, dominion, and raw power. And you tell us, man, to take up, man, where he left off of. Let's stop so much as focusing on, man, so much as having church, and let's learn how to be the church and who the church is. And so that, man, we could rise up, man, and take authority. Listen, I pray for you in the name of Jesus, that every need that you have represented, that is met in Jesus' name. God bless you. My time is up. We'll talk to you next week. My phone number again is 713-870-3776. Once again, 713-870-3776. If you like any information about our radio broadcast, our ministry, our messages. God bless you. We love you. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LeBain. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Our phone number is 713-870.